Message tonight is buckles, bases, boards, and bars. And I wasn't being clever when I chose that for the title. Turn to Exodus chapter 26 and you'll see clearly. Exodus chapter 26. In verses 6 through 30, the Lord God commanded Moses in the making of the tabernacle to make 50 tachets, that is 50 buckles of gold and 50 buckles of brass. He commanded him to make 48 boards overlaid with pure gold, and each board was to have 2 sockets of silver, that is 2 bases, 2 foundation sockets of silver, and there were to be 15 bars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Let's begin reading in Exodus 26, verse 6. Exodus 26, verse 6. Thou shalt make 50 tachets, 50 buckles of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tachets, and it shall be one tabernacle. Verse 11. Thou shalt make 50 tachets of brass, and put the tachets into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. Verse 15. And thou shalt make boards of the tabernacle, or boards for the tabernacle, of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half the breadth of one board. 2 tenons, that is 2 hands, shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver, 40 bases, 40 foundations of silver under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets. 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. Verse 26. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end, and thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, what's the significance of these buckles and bases and boards and bars? What do they all mean? As we seek to understand the significance of the tabernacle, we cannot do so except as we follow the direction given by God the Holy Spirit, particularly as it's given in the book of Hebrews. 4 times in the book of Hebrews, as God the Holy Spirit gives us an explanation concerning the Levitical law and the Levitical ceremonies, all of which were involved in the tabernacle and temple worship of the Old Testament, 4 times he tells us how we are to understand the tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, it's described as a shadow of heavenly things. In chapter 9 and verse 23, the Spirit of God tells us that in the tabernacle we see the patterns of things in the heavens. shadows of heavenly things, patterns of things that are in heaven. And then in chapter 9, verse 24, it's spoken of as figures of the true. They are representatives or types of that which is true. In other words, when Moses and the children of Israel carried about the tabernacle and erected the tabernacle and worshiped God in the tabernacle, they were worshiping God in that which was carnal and physical, but it was intended and designed and made to be a type, a figure, a representation of that which was true. Not that which was to be true, that which was true. The tabernacle was only a picture of what God showed Moses in the mount. It was a picture of the revelation of His grace. It was a picture for the time of our infancy, as it were. When children are children, they have to have pictures. You show them things by pictures. And now that we've come to maturity in the gospel age, the pictures are done away. And then in chapter 10, in verse 1, we're told that this tabernacle and all the services and sacrifices in the tabernacle are a shadow of good things to come. A shadow. Something stands here, the sun behind it, and it casts a shadow. The tabernacle is a big shadow of that good thing which was to come, Christ Jesus the Lord. In other words, the things that we read about here in Exodus were designed by God to be shadows, pictures, types, and examples of true worship. Shadows, pictures, types, and examples of all concerning God's grace in Jesus Christ the Lord. Certainly, the tabernacle represents Christ our Redeemer, who tabernacled in human flesh while He was on this earth. The tabernacle certainly represents the church of God universally. It represents each local church. It represents the church of God as spoken of with individual believers, so that you and I ourselves are represented in the tabernacle. But put it all together, and the tabernacle was a foreshadowing of God's great salvation in and by Jesus Christ the Lord. Now may God the Holy Spirit give us grace whenever we open the Scriptures and read. I took time today to do a good bit of reading, trying to prepare for this message. And I asked God to let me, as I approach the tabernacle, come to the tabernacle like Simeon of old came to the temple. You remember how the Scriptures describe Simeon? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was seeking God's Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Simeon, that old man, knew that he was living at the time, about the time when the Lord God had promised the Messiah would come. He knew, judging from the Scriptures, that this is about the time when Christ must appear. And he kept going to the temple. Can you imagine getting up every morning, going to the temple? That old man, going to the temple, God, let me see him today. Oh, may this be the day. And one day he walked in and he saw God's Christ and he picked him up in his arms and he said, This is all I've lived for. Let me die now. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. When you come to the tabernacle in the book of God, ask of God to give you eyes to behold the Savior. And when you leave that tabernacle, if you are allowed to see Him, then you will go away like the disciples as they walked the road to Emmaus and say, did not our hearts burn within us as He spoke to us by the way? Turn back to Exodus 25. Let's get started. Back here in the 25th chapter, God gives the command to build the tabernacle. Look in verse 8. God says, let them make me a sanctuary. Now here's the reason. That I may dwell among them. Oh, I find that astounding. Does God, the holy, infinite, eternal, self-sufficient God, does God, He who alone is God, He who made all things, who's above all things, who rules all things, who disposes of all things, Does God desire to dwell with us? More than we have ever dreamed of desiring to dwell with Him. Make me a sanctuary. Make me a dwelling place that I may dwell with you. God says to Moses, you have my people to make me a tabernacle. These who make the tabernacle are commanded to make a tabernacle that represents God dwelling with man. God Almighty desires to dwell with His people. He is determined to dwell with His people. He purposed from eternity that He would dwell with His people. And He does dwell with us. But He will dwell with us only in a way that is altogether consistent with His own holy character and being as God. He says to Moses, now Moses, you command my children to make me a sanctuary wherein I, God, may dwell with them. Make a sanctuary that shows them how I can dwell with them. Make a sanctuary that shows my people continually, day after day, morning, all day long, evening, as they bring the morning and evening sacrifices, as the priests of God go about the business of maintaining the tabernacle, as they come in their annual feast and in their monthly feast and in their weekly sacrifices and in their daily sacrifices, so that they will be continually shown how it is that I can dwell with them and they dwell with me. Those who made the tabernacle were a chosen covenant people. They were a people who had just been redeemed by the precious blood of a paschal lamb, exactly according to God's purpose, portraying Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. They were a people who had not only been redeemed, but they had been distinctly sanctified, cleansed and made holy ceremonially, God bringing them through death and out of death across the Red Sea, baptizing them unto Moses, so that ceremonially they stand before Him a people redeemed and a people made holy and clean. Therefore, the Apostle Paul tells us, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. God, by all that is represented in this tabernacle, has made us His dwelling place. And has made Himself to be our everlasting dwelling place. Look in chapter 25, verse 9. God took Moses up into the mount, and He showed him a pattern. A pattern. According to which He was required to make the tabernacle. He showed Moses the accomplishment of redemption by the sacrifice of God Himself in human flesh. Are you sure that's what He showed Moses? I am absolutely certain that's what He showed Moses. He said to Moses, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. When Moses stood on another mount in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Son of God, with God's prophet Elijah, do you remember what they spoke to the Savior about? Moses and Elijah spoke with the Lord Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, before He went into the garden. They spoke with the Lord Jesus about the death that He should accomplish at Jerusalem. You know the word that's translated death there? The death He should accomplish? It's the word Exodus. But Moses stood with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and spoke to Him about the very thing we're reading here in the book of Exodus. The Exodus He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Look in verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern, not patterns, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Make the instruments, make all the lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar, the laver, the mercy seat, the ark, everything, the curtains, make it all after this one pattern that I showed you. Look in verse 40 of chapter 25. And look thou, you make dead certain, Moses, that thou make them after their pattern, not patterns, pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. You make dead certain that everything in this tabernacle is made exactly as I have shown you concerning the person and work, the accomplishments of my darling son in the sacrifice of himself. Because these carnal things had spiritual meaning, they were to be made according to the heavenly pattern, according to the revelation of God given to Moses. The tabernacle, like salvation, was altogether according to God's purpose and decree. What's that mean? Everything was done according to God's will, according to God's purpose. No man's thought or opinion was sought, and none was taken. In other words, man contributed nothing. Man had nothing to say in the affair. Man controlled nothing in the affair. Man didn't put his 2 cents in. Everything was done purely to show the greatness and the glory of God in Jesus Christ crucified. Everything was designed to display the marvelous scheme of redemption that Christ Jesus would accomplish by his incarnation and death. Now, look in verse 2 of chapter 25. Remember, God required the children of Israel to bring materials. You can read these 8 verses in chapter 25 again and read the list of materials. These materials by which the tabernacle was to be made. But he would only accept those things which the children of Israel offered with a willing heart. He commands them to bring sacrifices. And he said, now, Moses, bring only that which folks bring with a willing heart. Look in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. He shall take my offering. How on this earth can an offering be commanded and be given with a willing heart? How can you give something willingly that God commands you to give and holds you responsible to give? The fact is, you and I will never worship God, serve God, give ourselves or give anything in sacrifice and devotion to God except by an irresistible command of His free grace. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He gives his own a willing heart to worship him, a willing heart to serve him, a willing heart to devote themselves to him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. But where did these pilgrims, these folks, they've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. What have they got? They're paupers. They went down into Egypt poor and just got poorer while they were there. They're paupers. How can they have anything? Where did they get the material, these precious stones, the gold, the silver, the scarlet, the wool? Where did they get the stuff to bring with a willing heart to give to God? Turn to chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Oh, they must have got a committee together and had some bake sales and yard sales, set the children to go door to door with cup buckets in their hand, begging, stand out at the street light and beg folks to give. Or Moses start browbeating folks to death, saying, you got a tithe, I got to get it out of your hide. Well, that's not the way they did it. That's the way churches do things. Churches where God is not. Churches where the Spirit of God doesn't work. Not the way God does things. Look in Exodus 12, verse 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The children of Israel went out of Egypt loaded down with wealth. What do y'all need? Oh, we need some necklaces. What do you need necklaces for? You're going to go sacrifice to God. We need some earrings. We need some bracelets. We need some kneading troughs. We need some pans. We need some silver. We need some gold. What for? God said we need it. Well, here, take it. Take it. And they went out loaded down. And then the time would come when they would need some weapons. And they went out and took those right off the soldiers who were destroyed in the Red Sea. They spoiled the Egyptians. And they brought, with willing heart, these folks, freshly redeemed. They could still smell the blood on the doorpost. They could still taste the lamb in their mouths. They were freshly redeemed. Freshly brought out of death. Freshly made alive. And they come with a willing heart. What was it you wanted, Moses? Gold? I got some of that. Silver? Yeah, here, take this. What did God say? What did God say give him? Precious stones, here they are. Turn to chapter 36. Verse 6. Watch this. Let's see if they gave with a willing heart. Moses had to do something I've never heard tell of a preacher having to do, except Moses. Never heard tell of another preacher having to do this. He said, stop giving. He said, stop. We got enough. Everything's needed, been taken care of. Look at this. Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. God, make me such a giver. The people were restrained from bringing. Now skip over to chapter 31 for just a minute. And we'll get to our text. Let me show you the workmen God used to get the job done. I saw this today and I just had to include it. Chapter 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and to work in silver and to work in brass, and in cutting stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Man, this fellow had some gifts. Now look what he could do. He could cut diamonds. He could work in silver. He could work in gold. He could carve wood. He could carve stone. He was filled with understanding and knowledge. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have given him Athaliah, the son of Ahishmach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Bezalel led a whole crew of skilled artisans. This man's name, Bezalel, means in the shadow of God. Like God the Holy Spirit, he gave to every man his work. He assigned to each one the work that he was to do and taught him how to do it. Isn't it Bob Ponson? This is what you're supposed to do. Don Fortner, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. And showed them how to do it. Bezalel, this man who was uniquely gifted of God, foreshadows for us God the Holy Spirit and his work in building his spiritual temple, the Church of God, which is a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Lord used a bunch of folks to make the tabernacle. He used a bunch of folks. I mean, there's a slew of them. He used a bunch of folks. It takes a bunch of folks to do this work. But it was the work of one man, distinctly. It was the work of a man in the shadow of God. And God the Holy Spirit uses a bunch of us for the furtherance of the gospel. He uses a bunch of us for the building of his kingdom. He uses a bunch of us for the ingathering of his elect to build his church and his temple. But it's all the work of God the Holy Spirit. It's his work or it's no work. Turn to chapter 35. Let me show you. Chapter 35, verse 30. Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord hath called by name the man in the shadow of God, Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, so that it is his to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass." The work is his. Thank God he uses us to perform the work. Now let's look at chapter 26, first at the buckles. We've read the chapter already, so I won't read these verses again except as needful. God required Moses and the children of Israel to make 50 patches, 50 buckles of gold, and 50 buckles of brass. Now, the number 50 itself signifies something we ought to catch. 50 representing Pentecost. 50 clearly is a number representing God the Holy Spirit. Both gold and brass are used through the scriptures as representations of divinity. So these 50 golden and 50 brass buckles are designed of God to show us something about the necessity of the work of God the Spirit. Look what he says about it. Verse 6, Exodus 26, verse 6. "Thou shalt make 50 patches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the patches." Now here's the reason. "And it shall be one tabernacle." Look in verse 11. "Thou shalt make 50 patches, 50 buckles of brass, and put the buckles into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one." What is it that holds everything together in the church of God? What is it that brings us together and holds us together and knits us together and binds us together? It is the work of God the Holy Spirit. He makes us one. He makes us one in Christ Jesus the Lord. It is the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace that is our strength. Now look at the bases. I know the boards are mentioned first. But let's look at the bases, beginning in verse 15, going through 20. These bases in which the boards are set are described here as sockets of silver. Each board had two tenons. The word tenons means hands. Had two hands that just grabbed one another. Like those chairs we used during conference, interlocking chairs. They were interlocking. And each board had beneath it two sockets, two foundations, two bases of silver. And these sockets of silver running around the tabernacle formed the basis, the foundation on which the whole thing set. These boards were set in the foundation, not just on it, and held by the foundation, not just attached to it, held by the foundation, and they were made to hold the foundation. In Exodus chapter, Exodus chapter 30? We're told that the children of Israel were to be numbered every year. And when they were numbered, every male in Israel was required to bring some atonement money. You remember what the atonement money was? Each one, the same amount. They were to bring a half shekel of silver. Every man in Israel, once a year, as they were numbered, bring a half shekel of silver. And then in the 38th chapter, we're told that this silver that was brought for atonement was used to make sockets of silver for the boards of the tabernacle. In other words, everything in the tabernacle, everything had meaning. Everything had cohesion. Everything had significance because of just one thing, and that was atonement. Without atonement, this whole thing, you got an image of it here, this whole tabernacle. You know what happened without that silver base running around the bottom of it? You know what happened with it? It all collapsed. It fell apart. Everything. Everything is built on atonement. Everything is set in atonement. Everything has significance because of atonement. Everything is held together by atonement. Everything secure by atonement. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll show you a New Testament reference to it. Until I got to studying this, I had never really understood what Peter meant when he said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. He's not talking about going and buying a man back from slavery with money. No, he's talking about what's portrayed in this tabernacle. He says in verse 18, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your meaningless, empty way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but you were bought with better money, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. The sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ is everything in the church of God. Deny any aspect of the atonement. Deny anything regarding the efficacy of Christ's shed blood. Deny any aspect of the accomplishments of Christ at Calvary, and you destroy every aspect of the gospel. Every aspect. People talk to me about fellows who deny Christ's accomplished work at Calvary as if they are, you know, these are, they're brethren, they just, They just hate God, that's all. No, they're not brethren. Their whole purpose is the destruction of the gospel, not the building of the gospel. We stand on one foundation. Another foundation cannot be laid. That foundation is Christ the Lord. All right, third. Look at verses 15 through 20 again. And look at these boards. These boards are fixed in the atonement. They're resting on the atonement. These boards typify those who are redeemed of the Lord. They represent us, the Israel of God. And they're always portrayed in the number 12. You notice that? All the way through scriptures. God's elect are represented, whenever they're represented by a number, they're always represented either by 12 or some multiple of 12. Here are these boards. Multiples of 12 given. Each board was about 15 feet long, 27 inches wide. Each board had two tenons, two hands, by which it laid hold of the other board and the socket of silver. These boards, I suspect, say a whole lot more than I can tell you. They certainly say much more than you've imagined, I'm sure. Boards. In order to get a board, you've got to do some cutting. You've got to cut down stout trees. And that's how God gathers His elect out of the forest of fallen humanity. He cuts them down. If you would go up to glory, you're going to have to come down in the dust. And you will never come down in the dust till God cuts you down. It just ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You can pretend it. You can stick your face in the dust and come up dirty. But you're not going to come down till God cuts you down. And when God cuts down the boards from which He would build His tabernacle, His dwelling place, He said that He's God, dwells on high. He said, I'll look to this man, the humble, the man who's a broken and contrite heart. I'll come dwell there. Before you can use them to build anything, they've got to be dried. Completely dried up. Completely dried up. You take some timbers, you get them cut, go down the sawmill, get fresh cut timbers, and build something out of it. And go back in 6 months and look at the gaps. You can't do much with it. These boards were used in this tabernacle for 40 years. For 40 years. And every time they set it up, they set right in their place, fit right in the socket, and fit together perfectly. How come? Because all the sap was dried out of those boards. That's how God makes boards for His tabernacle. He dries up the sap of pride and self-righteousness. He just dries it up. Makes you to know what you are from the inside. And the boards had to be, they were cleansed. Everything used in the service of God had to be sanctified. But they weren't just washed off. They were completely encased in gold. Completely encased in God we are. Completely encased in Christ our Redeemer. And the boards were each one fitly framed together. They were joined together by the God-given hand of faith. Not the hand of faith, each laying hold on the other. but the hand of faith each being held to the foundation and holding the foundation. People love to act religious, you know, and I have friends who do it, and sometimes I go along. I don't usually want to pray. Well, let's hold hands. Quit acting silly. It's a symbol of our unity. No. This is a symbol of our unity. We're held to the foundation. And being held to the foundation, we hold the foundation. And thus we are one in Christ Jesus the Lord. Each board resting on the silver sockets of blood atonement stood as one with every other board. What about the bars? Moses was commanded of God to make 15 bars. Strong bars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. The bars encircled the boards of gold like the arms of omnipotent mercy. Hold me. The bars, the strong bars of gold, held the boards upright. The strong bars of gold held the boards in their place in the foundation. The strong bars held these boards together. By these strong bars, these boards were held constantly pointing heavenward. And that's where God dwells, in His tabernacle, which tabernacle you are, if He's joined you to Christ. Amen.